What up, y'all? I'm Josh Udall, and on this episode of the Next Level Podcast, we are joined by Kyle Racky as we discuss the ever-changing landscape of marketing and the spot that user experience has in that space. What up, everybody? We are here with Kyle Racky, the CEO of Proposify, one of the most electrifying companies on the tech scene here in Halifax, and dare I say, Canada. It is so awesome to have you here. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule as a CEO to come and talk with me and give some thoughts to the people. It really does mean a lot. Thank you so much. So for the 1.5 people out there who actually don't know you and what you're about, kind of give us the 3 to 5 minute rundown, what your background is, and what led you to being leading up Proposify.
Sure. So I was trained as a designer in school. That's what I went to school for. And as far back as the early 2000s, and I got my start in agencies working in, just small kind of web design, marketing shops, eventually went freelance and started my own company at 24, which we grew into a small agency. And now I'm doing Proposify. I've been running Proposify, which is a software as a service company, a SaaS company, for the last 3 or 4 years. And that sort of grew out of the agency. So Proposify is basically proposal software. So if you write business proposals, it's software to make that easier, templates and content library and signatures. So it's kind of a way to get your proposal signed and spend less time writing it. And that's what I've been doing for a while. It's a startup we got off the ground while I was running the agency, raised a small seed round for that. And now we're sitting here with almost 5,000 customers around the world.
That's awesome. It's incredible feat, and you guys have succeeded a lot and seen a lot of success, so congratulations at that. So from a skills point of view, what is your background, your skills? Like, what are you most confident in? Where'd you come from?
Yeah, I mean, so as I mentioned, I was trained as a designer, and that's kind of what I worked in the most. I got really into the web around kind of the mid-2000s and kind of learned how to code and more user interface, user experience design. So that's kind of what I think it helped get our product, to the market. It helped create a product that people like to use and they enjoy using. So I think user experience was what I used to hang my hat on a lot. You know, when I ran the agency, we used to do a lot of like UX workshops or discoveries and that kind of stuff. I don't do as much of it anymore, but I tend to be more of a marketer these days than a designer, but hopefully haven't gotten too crusty and lost those skills.
Fair enough. Well, clearly because of success that you've seen and a lot of, you've taken a lot of runs at different things throughout your life, and you finally you've broken the wall with Proposify. You are clearly conditioned as an entrepreneur. You have that go-getter attitude, and you have that background in design, but as well you're starting to, go through the marketing space a little bit more. So what do you think is the key in order to get your message and voice out there as a company and start building that relationship with customers?
I think the key to... So, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, no,
what's the key to getting into marketing?
For when it comes to marketing your company and what you guys offer, what is the key from a marketing perspective to be able to start getting your voice and message out there to begin building that relationship with your future customer?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good question, because when you create a product and get it to market, usually your first thought is like, how do I just get this in front of people's faces and how do I like push my message on them? I'm a really big fan of inbound marketing, even though I appreciate and I think sales and outbound and advertising is all very important. But I think if you have an inbound mindset in terms of how do I solve people's problems through content and have them looking for me, starting with that approach means that you make better, better ads, a better sales approach. So I know it's kind of cliche to say, because everybody says it, but like adding value, it's easy to say, difficult to do. So it's about like finding what are customers' real pain points and how do I solve it, whether it's my product or helpful content or in some other way, just, you know, speak the way your customer speaks, you know, speak to their what's keeping them up at night.
Yeah, that's something that, as I've done my own research and, you know, learning even more about the marketing game itself, I've started to see that that is huge. Is the best thing you can do is go into a conversation and figure out what you can, you know, what value you can add to the person you're talking with. Because as soon as they feel like you're trying to get value out of them right away, they feel that and start resisting. So I see that as definitely a huge key, and that's a good point that was made.
Well, you know, to touch on that, it's like, if people acted the way they do, like if people acted in real life the way they do on LinkedIn, they'd be social outcasts. You know, if you're, imagine you're sitting at a bar on a patio or something, you know, and somebody just walks up to you and they're like, "Hey, I just want to tell you, you know, I'd love to connect, and you know, if you have any web design needs that I can help with, we have a team. You know, we know we specialize in Drupal." Like, we get that every day through LinkedIn, right? And we don't read any of those because they're just coming at you being like, "Hey, do you want my shit? Like, do you want to, you know?" It's just, once people take that other approach of finding ways to add value in an authentic way, like you said, people don't feel like, "Oh, what do they want? What are they selling?" You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And that's definitely huge. And like a great analogy to use as well when it comes to real life. Like, that would be really weird if someone came at me like that. And also be very intimidating. But as like kind of going through the marketing side, what tool do you feel has been the most useful for you and give you the most success when it comes to beginning that conversation and building that trust?
When you say tools, do you mean like software?
Yeah,
tools?
Software tools or even conversational tools as well. Anything that kind of pops in your head that you feel has been successful.
I think the more, like, everybody is so used these days to things being automated and impersonal. So I think when you run an online company and somebody actually, you know, a founder reaches out to you by email and says, "Hey, do you want to jump on a phone call and chat?" That now stands out a lot more than using like the fanciest marketing automation tool. So I think, you know, people are getting really into bots these days, and I think there's a place for that, but it's becoming even more and more authentic when you're actually chatting, like doing a support chat with a bot, you know? So I think in some ways it's about like getting back to basics and just talking to people and being like, "What can I help you with? You know, what is your biggest..." Like, for example, we read a blog, and it's mainly written for consultants, agencies, people who run service-based businesses, because that aligns pretty closely with what our core customer is. And sometimes when I'm looking for ideas for content, I'll reach out to subscribers or people online who, you know, follow the blog, and I'll just be like, what's the biggest challenge that you're facing in your business? Doesn't have to have anything to do with proposals, like just in general. And, you know, once you start uncovering those patterns, for example, people told me, they were like, "Leads. Like, I don't know how to generate leads. It's all organic. It's all referrals, but I can't control it." Once we knew that, well, then we started creating blog content that was all about different ways to generate leads through different methods. So again, I guess it just always goes back to talk to people.
Huge, yeah. Building that, you know, that personal, you know, connection. That's huge, and something I've also been learning myself. And so, but in this kind of going this day and age, an idea that has been kind of traveling around a lot is the idea that each person is soon to, you know, needing to be their own media company of sorts, you know, whether it be having a great personality on Twitter and getting info out and content out through there, or Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. As a marketer, do you think it's important for marketers to have the kind of build their own media platform in order to bring the most value to their company? Or do you think they can still kind of just, you know, be like kind of like the third, be like a third party of sorts for their company and just keep marketing through that and being successful?
Yeah, I think creating content, whether that's, you know, visual, audio like this, you need to be creating content. I don't think everybody needs to have a personal brand. There's a lot of, you know, very big companies run by successful founders and CEO types who, you know, they're shy in front of the camera, or they don't want to be in front of the camera, and they're able to create a media machine. They're able to create a content machine, but it's not necessarily them. So yeah, I think that from a personal branding standpoint, but I think it's in every marketer's best interest to get good at content. There are some marketers that are better at, I always tend to break marketers down into left brain or right brained. I know there's always a little variation in between there, but I think for the most part, there's either the marketer that's understands branding, copywriting, language, creativity, you know, concepts. Those types of marketers are kind of like the right brain ones, and the left brain ones are almost more of like the more modern digital marketer who like knows Google Analytics, knows, you know, A/B testing, knows kind of the technical side of it really well. And I think it's always great when you pair those people together, because then the creative, the right brain is, you know, the stuff that they're creating actually has some data to back it up and it's being measured. So I think that's a really good relationship, but I think it's in every marketer's best interests, especially the ones that tend to be more left-brained and more analytical, to still do their best to get good at content and the craft of writing.
Good point. So, I mean, guess shifting gears a little bit, especially as we go into this day and age of, you know, it seems like a lot of disciplines nowadays are starting to be a lot of lumped together, a lot of crossover, a lot of working with one another in order to build great products. So I guess shifting more into a kind of user experience perspective, how, as a CEO of Proposify, how have you guys incorporated UX into your product as you've marketed to customers?
The best example I have of UX, I once read in a book, and it's not digital at all. The writer basically said that she, you know, she loves her iced coffee, but she hates that when they put ice in it, it waters down the coffee. So she went to a cafe and noticed that it like still tasted great after a while, wasn't watered down, realized that they actually make their ice cubes with coffee. So that way, as it sort of, as the ice melts, the coffee still tastes great and it's not watered down. I think that's a perfect example of what UX is. It's like, how do you put thought into those little details that make the user's life better? You know, they may notice it, they may not, but they're just like, that was an incredible experience. And it's because you took the time to go, you know, what do people not like about the coffee? Oh, they don't like this. How do we solve that problem? How do we fix that? And in a way that sort of very, I think that gets like juxtaposed a little bit with the idea of marketing, because so much of marketing is about not giving a great experience, right? Like, there's a reason why people still put those like takeover pop-up banners that say, subscribe to our email list. Like, we have one of those. It doesn't take over the whole screen, but it slides up. Everybody knows they're annoying. Everybody hates it when they do. Like, when it happens to you, you hate it. You're like, get this thing out of my face. And yet we still do it because they actually work. People subscribe, right? So I think with marketers, they need to, it's helpful to understand about UX, because so often you're pressured to ruin what people actually enjoy. Like, as soon as any new social network comes out, marketers find a way to ruin it. They did it with email. They did it with Facebook. They're doing it with Instagram. Like, you know, Snapchat isn't overrun by ads right now. It will. Like, everything is going to get ruined because that's what marketers do. Where's the attention, and how do we put our message in front of them? So I think that if you know, a marketer who doesn't know UX or doesn't understand it, it's helpful to look at, and it's counterintuitive to go, actually, if I just make the user's life better or my customer's life better, if I don't harass them or annoy them, if I just make them, you know, have a very seamless, enjoyable experience, that can actually bring more revenue my way. And it's a different way of thinking.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of like even more so a challenge that we're even facing here at WhatsOn as we're creating a product called Feedcast, and we're really trying our best to bring content that matter to the users as quick as possible to them. Companies that we're dealing with is, you know, obviously they want to get their ads, they want to get their content out in front of the users. And one of the issues that we keep coming into is they want to keep putting up the 720 by 90 ads, banner ads at the bottom of the screen, this, that, the other. And we're trying to work with them to figure out a way that we can make it a great experience, but as well for the user, but as well as they still get their content out. And even there's more creative ways to get content out, which I've started to realize, especially from a marketing perspective, that it will get, you'll still get your clicks that you want to get. You'll still get your impressions, but it's not as, I guess, doesn't bombard the user as much. I think that is definitely, for me at least, that's a huge key as we move on forward. Is right now, Instagram does a pretty good job of it, of how they've really done a good job of masking ads within their timeline. There's times I didn't realize there was an ad and I clicked on it. I was like, oh, actually, I did need that. That was helpful.
Well, that's a great point, because, and that's a perfect example, is the reason why Facebook ads and Instagram ads are working is because of the targeting, mm-hmm. because we're giving them all this data about ourselves and what we like, and their marketers are getting really good at knowing, like, this person would totally be into this product. Mm-hmm. And so I've bought products from Instagram ads because they were so well targeted. I'm like, that's exactly what I want. And that's where a marketer is being helpful in giving, showing people products that would actually solve a problem for them. Like, you're thankful for the ad. You're like, I had no idea that product existed. I need that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I guess that more so, this is this wasn't in terms of the line of questioning, but now it's kind of a wild card question. I'm really curious about your opinion on, is what are your thoughts on all these massive companies just putting all kinds of money into television ads? Do you think is money well spent, or is it time to start moving on and...
It's not something I know a whole lot about from what I don't know where we're at with the spending. Like, is it on the rise? Is it consistent, or is it declining? I don't know. I think for some products, like mass market products, buying that, $1 million Super Bowl ad is probably money well spent. There's a lot of eyeballs in front of that. But I think anybody who's still putting a lot of money into TV, they should realize that people are skipping commercials. People are cutting cable. People are watching Netflix. Even if you're sitting there and an ad comes on, you're on your phone. You're on Facebook, right? So, yeah, I think it's, as Gary Vaynerchuk says, that it's overpriced and the attention isn't there. And I agree with him.
I completely agree with him too, and that's actually where that kind of idea came from. I was watching one of his vlogs, and he brought that up at a conference actually, and I thought that was such an interesting point. And I was like, "Yeah, and like, wow, that, yeah, my attention is not on TV anymore. It really is on your phone, and and on demand television."
Yeah, and there's product placement in TV shows, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, people are watching a Netflix show, and your product's in there. That's probably money well spent, mm-hmm. more so than the ad that people are not going to be paying attention
right.
to.
Yeah, huge. That's good. That's a good point. And from your experience, what are some user experience keys to retain your customers?
User experience definitely has a huge role in retention. A lot of it is making sure that I'm starting to think more along the lines of customer success than necessarily user experience, but I think they all play a role. Customer success is making sure that customers stay with you and they have success using your product, and that can be through personal touch, phone calls, that kind of thing. I think the user experience is very similar in that it's maybe not a customer success agent, it's a designer, it's a product manager who's actually talking to those customers and going, where are the roadblocks? Why didn't you come back to the product after using it for 3 months? Why did you stop using it and then cancel? So it's a lot of it is just that personal one-on-one, where are the roadblocks and how do we fix them?
Gotcha. Wow. It's what I find, again, what I'm finding interesting with this whole conversation is it keeps coming back to that personal connection, that personal one-on-one, and how important and key it is. It was actually a point that was made on a previous podcast that we had someone in here where, we went through a time where, people didn't really want to
interact with each other. And that's kind of the beginning of the internet when it started coming into its full swing. Now we're starting to make a full circle where we want that interaction. We want that one-on-one connection. It's just taking on a different form now.
And people want it when they want it, right? Like, you don't necessarily want, you know, you download an ebook off a website and they're calling you saying, do you want to try the product, right? That's interruptive. But when they want that, when somebody's having trouble using your product and they can't get support to help them, or they can't get somebody on the phone, like, right then, they're frustrated because people are just very selfish and they want. But they always appreciate when you reach out and go, hey, do you have 15 minutes to chat? You can book it on your own time, like, choose a time that works for you. So I think when it's no pressure, but it's there and it's available for when you want it, that it goes a long way. And it makes people more loyal to your brand too. So again, from a marketing standpoint, what the number one thing that you want is brand loyalty. And you could get that with repeated exposure to ads if you've got a huge budget, or you can just have a human being create a relationship with somebody through content, through, you know, online discussions, whatever way. Once they feel like they know you, they know the founder, they're not going to switch to another product, because now you're, you know, they have that one-on-one connection.
Yeah. And to those who are listening at this point in time, Kyle does practice what he preaches. When the early days of Proposify, he was the help desk. He was calling people one-on-one, helping them with their issues. And so I think that's,
I still do it.
You still do it, eh?
I still do
right
it.
Right on.
We actually automatically send out an email. So here's an example of where you kind of use automation to create a personal connection. So I don't, you know, one by one email every customer. But we have an automated email that goes out. I think it's after about a month. Somebody's using the product, and it's basically from me, or there's from Ricky, the product manager. And it just says, just want to know if you have a chat, if you want to have a chat and learn, you know, what's not working, what is working, and then jump on the phone with people. And, you know, I have calls every week, like, the, you know, my calendar gets filled up with 15 minute customer calls. And that's just how you keep a pulse on. Like, people talk about product market fit, right? And like this magical thing that you achieve, and once you've got it, you can scale, which is true. But you can lose product market fit. Blockbuster once had product market fit, right? They lost it because they didn't keep a pulse on what do customers want. You know, and they figured out, well, customers hate, you know, going into the rental store. They hate late fees. They hate... Netflix obviously was able to solve those problems because they knew what customers wanted. So I don't know where I'm going with that. But
no, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
It's just really keeping a pulse on what your customers want, and, you know, making sure that you are talking to them, interacting with them when they want to start interacting with you. That's awesome. So kind of finishing off here, have combining the two disciplines of marketing and UX helped your company, or do you see them working independently of each other? Do they work? Do you think they work well together, or do you think they're independent things?
No, I think that they work together. I think I don't compartmentalize them in my mind. I never think I'm doing UX right now or I'm doing marketing right now. I always try to go, how can I know what my goals are. I know what I want from people. I want customers, I want revenue, I want growth, but how do I make it so that when my customer wins, I win, right? I think sometimes people look at it as they want, like, especially if you're selling vaporware or you're selling a subpar product, you know, it's all about kind of tricking the customer into buying something. They lose, you win. But as much as possible, when you think, when the customer wins, I win, and that's in the back of your mind, whether that's you writing a blog post, you're designing a feature within a product, you're always just thinking, when the customer wins, I win. And that's how I try to think of that. And that's marketing, and that's UX, and that's customer success, and it's everything.
And so it's essentially, you know, the thought process is putting this content out, whether it be a blog post or a vlog post or anything else, it's making, you know, you're hoping and you're putting your effort into making sure that it provides value of somebody on the other end, and you're not wasting their time. Yeah, that's huge. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in. That marks the end right there.
That's it. Yeah. I want to do
Oh, man. Soon, man. Very soon. We will make it happen. But we really appreciate coming in. Would you like to tell the listeners at home where we could, you know, find Proposify, how we'd go about downloading it, and where to find you on social?
Sure. Yeah. So thanks for having me on the show. You can check out Proposify, Proposify.com. We just bought the .com, actually. It'll still kick you over to .biz. We had .biz for a long time, and I finally was able to track down the .com and purchase it. But yeah, people can check out the product, sign up for a free trial, or check us. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Just search Kyle Racki, R-A-C-K-I. And I'm, usually putting out 2 posts a week, whether, you know, video or podcast or something, all about how to make agencies more successful and scale.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kyle, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Definitely. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought great value to you. I will check you later. Thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your drive, walk, run, bench press, or whatever it is you are doing. Have a good day.